Well, if you were not here on Thursday, you missed a wonderful Monday-Thursday service and potluck. Not sure which one was better, the potluck or the service. You'll have to poll the people who were here. Both were very, very good. But we talked on Thursday about the disciples and how excited they must have been to see Jesus being worshipped and to be a part of that triumphal entry and to see that people are finally starting to recognize this guy that they've been following around is the real deal. But I wonder if maybe you guys can relate to a time in your life where you're going along and maybe things are starting to get better. Maybe the ducks are starting to get in a row. And you're going along through life and then all of a sudden something happens that makes you rethink your entire life. Something happens that makes you question maybe even life itself. I think of Bertha and the time that she lost her husband. And you guys lost your dad. I think of Carmen and Cody and what they went through. And I think of Lila losing her husband. And Connie, you finding that. There are times in our life where we experience things or we hear news and we say, wait a second, that's not how it's supposed to work out. That was not supposed to happen. That is not what I signed up for. And that is what the disciples are going through here at this time. Their Christ, their Messiah has come. They are super excited. They've been following this guy around. He said some strange things, some crazy things, but they've stuck with him. He's done miraculous things. He raised a guy from the dead. And finally, things are starting to come together. And they're finally starting to see what's going to happen, right? And they're starting to argue, okay, when we get this thing all lined out here, who's going to be top dog, right? Who's going to be the one that sits right by Jesus? I think it should be me, right? I think I got it, you know? Turn up the collar a little bit, you know? Okay, let's not do that. Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of my message here, so we'll start back at the beginning. All throughout the New Testament, there's a question that keeps coming up. It's under the surface. Sometimes it percolates. Sometimes it stays under the surface. But it's there the whole time. We first find this question in Luke 4, 40 through 41. It says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. That question of who was Jesus and was he the Christ? That is the question that all of history hinges upon. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, it says, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this saying, the saying was where Jesus was talking about, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And he says, I offer you my flesh as food. And they start to like, what in the world is he talking about? You know, this guy, he's got some strange ideas. And the Pharisees say, how in the world can this guy offer us his flesh as food? He says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and also, a very important little phrase here, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The disciples confessed that Jesus was the Christ. We also see Martha confessing in John 11. Says, now Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. And now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And she said, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And what does she say? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Even the thief on the cross confessed in Luke chapter 23. We know the story. There was two criminals crucified on both sides of Jesus. One hanging there, blaspheming him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And the other answering rebuked the first and said, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here is the question that was behind every conversation about Jesus. Who is this guy? Who is he? Is he the one? The one that we've been waiting for? When we say Jesus Christ, we think of it like his last name, right? Jesus Christ. Like Michael Boyle. That was not his last name. Christ means anointed one. It's actually the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Okay? They're saying, I believe that you are the Messiah, the promised one, the one who is going to come and save Israel. And that's what they expected him to do the whole time. They're waiting for this guy to save Israel. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." They're waiting for this guy to rise up and be the conquering king. Over and over again. In Matthew, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." They're trying to figure out, who is this guy Jesus? And so Jesus asking a little more directly, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now that's kind of strange. Here the conquering king finally comes, right? And at first the disciples go out and say, "Hey, we found the guy, right?" And Andrew brings his brother. "Hey, you got to come check this guy out. He's the one. I think he's the one. I think we finally found him." And now he's saying, "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." Peter is telling Jesus, "You got to get with the plan here. Whatever you're talking about over there, about that whole dying and raising, just drop that. That's not important. What's important is that you become the king. You're the king. You're the Messiah. You're the one that's going to sit on the throne of David. You're the one we've been waiting for." And Jesus says, "Yeah, let's go do that." He says, "No, get behind me, Satan." Even after Jesus had died and risen again, the disciples are still waiting for him to take over the throne of David. In Acts 1, as Jesus is about to go up into heaven, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" You see, these guys had a plan. They recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. And they had in their mind how this was going to go. Right? We are going to be his disciples. We are going to help raise to power. And then when we get the power, we are going to share the power. Right? That's what they thought was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, one morning they find out, wait a second. Everything that I thought was going to happen, that ain't going to happen. But before we get there, I got a couple of questions for you, and this is more just rhetorical. Think about them in the back of your mind. Have you confessed Jesus as the Christ? Have you in your own heart said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God? And if you have, what does that mean to you? When you made that decision to follow Christ, to receive him as your Savior, or whatever mode of confession that you did, the sinner's prayer or whatever it was, what did that mean to you? What was the plan that you were signing up for? What were the expectations that you had for Jesus? And what was the expectations that you had for yourself? Right? Lord, please save me. Right? Please take care of me. Please watch after me. And I'm going to go do my own thing. Is that what you signed up for? God, please make me wealthy, healthy, right? And I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. Is that what you signed up for? Was that the plan? Maybe it's not working out like that. Maybe that's what you signed up for, and then all of a sudden you realize there's a whole lot more to this than I thought. Well, let me tell you, the disciples, they had that thought. Jesus was not following their plans. Their plans got turned upside down. Here they are having this wonderful Passover meal, and Jesus is talking about something, the end is coming, and, you know, he says strange stuff all the time, just, you know, leave him alone, right? And then all of a sudden, they're out in the garden, and these guards are coming. Like, a lot of guards are coming, right? And here comes Judas, who they knew, and he kisses him. And then all of a sudden, chaos breaks out. Let's read what happened. It says, Matthew 26, "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came with from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' And then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." That's what was supposed to happen. They were supposed to pull out their swords and slaughter everybody and say, "We are the new game in town here." This guy was brave. He was going to take the first strike. And what did Jesus do? He says, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Now wait a second. Wait a second. I thought I knew the scriptures. I thought the scriptures said that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to be the king. He was going to sit on the throne. He was going to liberate the people. He was going to set the captives free. We're the captives. What in the world are you talking about? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all of this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." And then all the disciples forsook him and fled. This ain't what we signed up for. This guy is not the Messiah. This guy is going to go down as a strange person, and I'm out of here. Either he's got some other idea about what the scriptures have to say, or I have no idea what's going on, but either way, I don't want to go down like this. And they took off. And then Jesus died. That wasn't supposed to happen. This was the guy we've been following. He's raised people from the dead. You understand? He's given sight to the blind. He's healed people. He wasn't supposed to die. We were going to be kings with him. We were going to serve with him. We were going to rule Israel. He was the Messiah. In Luke 24, we hear this story. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near." This is Jesus has risen from the dead. And these two guys are walking home because they're totally confused as to what's going on. This was not the way it was supposed to work out. And so Jesus appears behind them and starts following them, and he's walking at a little bit quicker pace than they are. And he finally reaches up with them. It says, "And they talked together of all these things which happened, and so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad?'" He noticed their demeanor. They were rejected. They were depressed. Everything that they had lived for was now gone. All their hopes and ambitions out the window. Then one, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which happened here in these days?" Everybody was talking. Everybody knew what happened. And he said, "What? You don't even know what's going on here? Come on." And he said to them, "What things?" And so they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things have happened. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. And when they did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." Do you understand what's going on here? These guys have been following Jesus. He was going to be the one. He was going to give them freedom, victory. He was going to rule. He was from God. He had all the authority. Wasted. Worthless. Rejected. betrayed. We're out of here. I got people to feed. I got a job to do. I got a family to take care of. And I'm behind. Way behind. And Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus takes these two guys and he says, "Let me tell you what you missed. Let's go back to the beginning. And let me tell you the story that you should have heard. Let me tell you the way it was going to go. And here's the clues that you missed." Have you experienced that gut check that caused you to question your faith in God? Have you asked God, "Why aren't you following the plan? Why did it go like that? That's not what was supposed to happen. I was supposed to sign up as a Christian. I was supposed to go to church most of the time. I was supposed to put some money in the offering plate. And then you were supposed to do your end of the bargain. And all of a sudden, God's not living up to his end of the bargain. Why didn't you follow the plan?" Maybe you didn't say those words, but I know you know what I mean. And then as time goes on, you start to realize the truth, which is that your plan was never the way it was going to go to begin with. Your plan was a dream. It was a fantasy of you co-ruling with God. "I'm going to be great just like you are, God." And at some point we start to learn that being a Christian means being a follower of Christ. And learning to be a follower is not an easy thing to do. Learning to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." That's not an easy thing. That's not an easy understanding to come to. And that's why it's so precious that Jesus took the time in the scriptures to go back and say, "Here's what you missed. Here's what you needed to know." It says, "And then he drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, and he blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight." What did Jesus say to his disciples the night before he would die? He said, "Pretty soon, the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I will reveal myself to you." And there are those moments when we start to follow instead of pulling God along behind us, instead of saying, come on, God, this is what you're, do your part here, we start to turn and say, okay, God, I'll follow you. And we start to grasp, we start to see it, and then he vanishes. And he leaves us alone to see if we really got it or not. Right? There we are. Are we going to follow through? Are we going to live out our, walk out our faith? They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about all the things that had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. What a testimony. What a testimony that would have been to sit there and listen to that. Oh man, I can imagine their excitement. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses for these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And now it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. There was a moment when all of a sudden it just started to make sense. There was a moment when it was just like, oh, that's what I was missing all along. I was like right there. I didn't get it. And then I saw just a little piece of it. I saw just a little piece of it, and I was like, that's enough. Now I see. Everything that I thought was going to happen is not necessarily going to happen the way I thought it was going to happen. But God is good. Jesus is the Messiah. And there is a plan. I don't have all the details figured out quite yet, but I know it's a good one. And I know we win in the end. So, let's get to work. Right? And then they went to the temple. Jesus went off to heaven. Whatever he's doing, I don't know. But let's go to the temple and let's tell everybody about what just happened because this is awesome! Right? And then a couple days later, they got this power. that power that they'd been wanting. Well, they thought it was going to be a different kind of power. But they got a different kind of power, and whoa, is that cool too, right? The Holy Spirit indwelling them. And people are turning to God 3,000 in one day. Man. And you are the witnesses. And you are the witnesses. And you are the witnesses. It wasn't what you signed up for. It's actually a whole lot better than what you signed up for. But it's different, and it's hard. You know, the disciples, they didn't live out like it was going to. They thought they were going to be kings. They thought people would be bowing down to them and serving them all these wonderful things on fine dishes. Well, that never quite came to fruition. But boy, did they live a life. And boy, was it worth something. And you know, oftentimes we think of the sadness when someone dies. And especially when someone dies before we think it's their time. We think, oh, what a waste. But what about the waste of life of us just sitting around, not studying the scriptures, not finding out the answers to the questions that we need to get answered so we can go out and serve God, so we can go out and be His witnesses, so we can use that power that's been given to us for good, for the people around us, so they can be filled with joy and hope? What about that kind of a waste of a life? Do we get sad about that? Do we mourn about all the people that are walking around breathing and yet still dead? Because we are the witnesses. The Bible says, Jesus said that as Christians, we are the salt of the earth. We are the preservative. We are the life. Christ is the life, but He gives life through the church to the people in this world. How has God taught you to follow His plan instead of the plan that you hope for? How does the resurrection of Christ and the promise that He gives to us give you hope in the midst of confusion? How does the resurrection of Christ and the promise that He gives to us give you hope in the midst of confusion? Maybe you know somebody who's going through that confusion right now. Maybe you know somebody who's struggling and saying, "Why is this happening to me?" And maybe you are the witness that needs to go to them and say, "Let me tell you what I know. Let me tell you what I've seen. Let me tell you about this guy who came into my life, and I thought it was going to go one way, but it didn't go that way. But wow, He's still amazing. Let me tell you about Jesus." Maybe you are that witness. How does the resurrection of Christ and the promise that He gives to us give you hope in the midst of confusion? You know, I know for me personally, if He rose again, He's alive. He's promised that I'm going to raise again. And that everything is going to be perfect. Whatever I'm dealing with on this earth is temporary. And what's going to happen, I can't even imagine how great it's going to be. If that doesn't give you hope, then you don't believe it. That's just the truth. But also, he is alive. He is interceding right now before the Father on my behalf. On your behalf. If that doesn't give you hope, then you just don't believe it. The Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. God Himself came down to this earth and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf, thinking about you. And if you don't get excited about that, you just don't believe it. And the last question is this: are you studying Scripture so that your confusion is replaced by peace and joy? Now, here's an amazing thing that I was thinking about last night. Here is Jesus, right? Here is God in the flesh. What does he not know? He knew who was going to betray him before he even asked them to follow him, right? He knows everything. There isn't a thing that he doesn't know. And what does he do when he gets his disciples around him? When he raises back from the dead and he says, "Oh guys, I've been telling you this whole time, this is what was going to happen. Why did you guys get so surprised when it happened? Let me show you out of the Bible, out of the written word, so that you might know. Because I don't want you to be ignorant." And what do we do? Whew. You know, Peter said that some of these things are hard to understand, so I guess I'm going to have to give it up to somebody else to read it for me, because there's no way I can understand it. Is there anybody who knows anything about the Bible around here? Because, well, maybe we can just sing some songs about the Bible. Maybe I can just listen to the radio and somebody else will tell me about the Bible. Right here is the words of life. Right here is the plan. Right here is everything that you need to know to live a godly life with joy and peace. And as we struggle, as we start to realize that our plan of what was going to happen isn't going to happen, and there's a new plan, and I need to kind of figure out what that plan is so I can, like, be successful at it, we need to get into the Bible. We need to get into God's Word, so that we can know for ourselves what it is that God wants me to do, what it is that God wants you to do. You know, we talked about Thursday night about what would you say or what would you do if you knew you were going to die in the next few days or the next few hours. And some of you have been even in a situation where you thought about, like, that was real, right? Some of you have been like, wow, this might be close for me. I've been thinking about that a lot. And I'll be honest with you, I can't wait. If I knew I was going to die tomorrow, I would be like, let's hold a party, man. This is going to be awesome. I cannot wait. And as people pass away around me, I start to get a little bit like, take me with you. Please. Like, I want to go there. I really do. That's where my heart is. I want to be there. And I hope that's true for you too. I hope your heart is getting more and more and more in heaven and less and less and less on this earth. Because this earth is passing away. It has nothing for you. Everything great in this world is coming down from heaven, from the Father of lights. Why don't we all just go there? And we will. But first we have a job to do. And it is to be the witnesses to the world around us that is dying and perishing. It is to tell them, hey, guess what good news I got? Guess what I found out? Man, we have the best news in the whole world. We got the best news of the whole world. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, whew, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful, tremendous story that gives us hope. Lord, we know oftentimes we try to remake you into our own image. We try to turn your plan into our plan. And we justify the things that we do because we wrongly believe that we have your blessing in that. But Lord, we do recognize that your plan is perfect, even when it's very, very difficult. Even when it hurts, even when it tears us apart, Lord, we recognize that you are good and that you are God and that we are not. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to follow. Teach us to follow you, not to try to lead you, but to follow you. Lord, teach us to be patient with ourselves as we do that. Help us not to be discouraged, but Lord, to put our faith and trust in you and to follow you and to be obedient to your word. Help us to be in your word so that we know what we ought to do, so that it does not confuse us when these things happen, when tribulation and trials come upon us. Lord, help us to be strong in our faith so that we might know all the blessings that you have for us. Lord, help us to be your witnesses into all the world. And Lord, I think of Safi and Dawn as they are getting ready to go back to Germany. And Lord, you have already appointed their way. You have already anointed them for this task. Lord, I just pray blessings on their journey. Lord, not that their plans would be the ones that would be actualized, but it would be your plans, Lord. And that they would grow in their faith. That they would grow in their understanding of who you are as they depend on you as they walk each and every day. Lord, and that we would be the same. Lord, as we pray for them, but as we also witness in our own lives of your great grace. Lord, you are an amazing God, and you are deserving of all praise. And so, Lord, we do love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.